The car fire is still burning, but generally away from Reading, a week and a half after it roared into town and destroyed many homes. The total number of homes gone is well over 1,000 now, and 7 people died. That's not something a community recovers from overnight, and that is accepted. But recovery also does not happen without early preparation and organization, and Reading's business community is already in gear working to get the local economy back on its feet. We have 3 guests with us to talk about the situation. I want to go first to Jake Mangus, who is the president and CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce, because we only have him for a couple of minutes. Jake, thank you for joining us today on The Conversation.
Oh, I really appreciate this opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us just sort of an overview of where things stand in Reading and where things are pointed at the moment in terms of the business community?
Well, certainly with the business community, there has been a general slowdown in business across the town as people, rightly so, have had their focus on, you know, preservation of life and other pressing necessities. Some of the businesses that were near the evacuation areas had to close and consequently have suffered financially almost immediately. And I would say displaced employees has been another cause for their challenges. So, you know, for us, we consider preservation of life number one. Second, you think about the necessities of life like, you know, food and water and clothing and shelter, and then livelihood comes quickly after that. And yet we have to realize that keeping the economy moving is a big piece to the recovery efforts and our response to this disaster, and yet businesses are sometimes the last in line. We think about the major corporations that have made significant contributions to the local community foundation, United Way and Red Cross and so on, and that gets the headlines, but a lot of our business community is comprised of very small mom-and-pop type businesses, 5 or fewer employees, and it's just such a fragile economy for them anyway. So we've had a lot of discussion with our 850 members, and a common theme right now is that they just need financial help at this time.
I understand you got a call the day after the fire from the head of the Santa Rosa Chamber to say what?
Well, Peter Rumble, the chamber, I guess, community is pretty close-knit in and of itself, and so I wasn't surprised that Peter called at 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday as West Reading was still burning, unfortunately. And he said, for us, we have some sort of a playbook as to how the Chamber of Commerce in Santa Rosa responded with our fires less than a year ago, and I'd be happy to help you in any way I can. So I talked to him about that, and he concurred. He said that the short-term needs of your business community will be financial assistance for the first 6 months or so. And then as things develop and hopefully the smoke clears and the building begins, that's when the chamber has to be a part of making sure that we do everything we can on the local level with the city and the county to, I guess, hustle along the rebuilding process. But right now, it is about the financial needs, and I'm grateful. I know you're going to be speaking with Bob Nash in a bit. The Superior California Economic Development Group there in Reading has some wonderful resources for businesses in terms of loans and so forth in wake of the disaster. So.
Jake Mangus, I understand you have to go. I want to thank you for taking the time to set the discussion up for us and introducing Bob Nash for me, too.
Oh, I'm sorry to preempt that.
Not a problem.
I will say that for people that are interested in perhaps supporting the business community, they can always do so by seeing our GoFundMe page, and the title is Car Fire Business Recovery, and they'll see the opportunity to give there. And we're grateful for the immense support that's come our way in Reading, and we know it will continue. The time, talent, and treasure has been just overwhelming, and yet that's what this community is about. We come together, we will be resilient, we'll show our resolve in this recovery effort, and it really reveals the character of Reading, and I'm proud to be there, and we're gonna get through this. So thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Jake Mangus, the president and CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. That we do bring in now Bob Nash, who is the CEO of Superior California Economic Development. Bob, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Sure, and the beep-beep was the sound of Jake getting off. And we also have with us Ed Roman, who has a couple of different hats. He is a board member for the Reading Convention and Visitors Bureau and chair of the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association, and he owns a hotel and a restaurant in Reading as well. Ed Roman, thank you for joining us. Ed, you there? Okay, I guess
maybe
we're talking.
Didn't make it.
All right, so Bob, let me focus on you. First of all, give us a sketch about what Superior California Economic Development is.
Well, we basically have two hats. We're an economic development district, which is a four-county joint powers agreement authority, and we do economic development planning assistance in that four-county area. It's kind of a minor part of what we do, but the interesting thing is over the last few years of these economic development districts have taken on an added component to their planning of disaster resiliency from an economic planning standpoint. And so we're just starting to get into that planning, and now all of a sudden here we are. We're learning it down deep in the trenches.
So was it specifically geared to something like wildfire? Is that the reason you'd already engaged in that kind of planning?
We were just starting to engage that planning from a community standpoint, and you know, it's not wildfire specific, but it's any kind of a disaster, whether it be earthquake or floods or fire.
As preliminary as it was, were there any concepts that had emerged from the discussions thus far that can help you in what you're doing now in trying to get Reading back on its feet?
Yeah, this gets into the other side and the larger part of what we do, and that's business finance. The bulk of our activity is geared toward financing small businesses and startup businesses, emerging businesses. We also package SBA loans for more established businesses that are expanding into commercial real estate facilities. And so from our standpoint, from business and local economy, the two key factors is to make sure that the people that are working there have a home and that there's financing available for businesses to get them over that initial financial shock, whether they suffered a property loss or they just suffered a few days locked out of their business while there was an evacuation underway. You know, and so that's where we are with the car fire right now is there were a few businesses, not very many, that were actually burned out, but the majority of the economic damage is businesses that were either locked out while they were within an evacuation area, and that's actually still going on. The fire is still burning in the populated areas in Trinity County, and we still have businesses over there that are still under evacuation and not able to get in and conduct business.
I know there are parts of downtown.
Fire is far from over.
Right, I know that too. But the within downtown Reading itself, I know there were blockades even on Market Street in the worst of the fire. Those have been lifted, haven't they? I mean, the business community.
Oh yeah, pretty much all of the evacuations in the immediate area have been lifted. People are returning to their homes or their home sites, and so all business is open for business, but. You know, they spent anywhere from 3 days over that first weekend to a week for some of the folks. Didn't get back out into their businesses until Wednesday the following week, last week. You know, and so they were closed down, but businesses continuing to be very slow for most of the retail type business, and so it's been very tough on them.
We're talking about the recovery of Reading from an economic standpoint with Bob Nash, the CEO of Superior California Economic Development, which is involved in a lot of financing business and loan funds and all sorts of tools we'll talk about in just a moment. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I noticed that there's already a fire relief loan fund for the Carr and Klamathon fires, too.
Well, we put this together as a loan fund that we had in place already for the purpose of micro-business development. And so there were some funds in that loan fund that were available to be used. And so we thought, well, let's just open up the loan criteria and make this available for emergency carryover loans, you know, to help businesses kind of get over that initial economic hump. The idea being is getting them through until SBA comes into town and is able to make larger and more permanent disaster recovery loans.
So you're sort of the bridge loan in a sense?
That's what we're trying to be. You know, there's a lot of desire for grants, and if we had money that we could put out for grants, we would do that also. This is restricted money that was funded through corporate donations, and so we're restricted to making those. But the truth is businesses, if they're a viable business, a loan is completely legitimate for them, and they can do that. And so that's where we are. We're a small fund. We're probably not going to be able to take care of all of the demand that's going to come up, but we're going to do what we can.
And what sorts of limits on these short-term loans?
Well, what we've set up is $5,000, up to $5,000. You know, and if we have a pressing need, you know, we can always consider more than that. But what we're trying to do is spread our fund as far as we can and just get people through a payroll or an inventory bill or a tax bill or something. But $5,000, we've set that up. We have a minimal interest rate on that for us anyway of 6%, and we're going to amortize that out for 24 years. So what we've done is there's a two-month forbearance on payments, and then you do 24 payments of $225. So, you know, it's a huge boost for some of these businesses that have been damaged in terms of their cash flow to just get them back on their feet where they can get some inventory laid back in, get payroll made, and continue on.
Have you talked to many of the businesses one-on-one? I mean, have they had a chance to make their needs known to you?
We've talked to several. We're getting a number of calls each day. We actually made our first loan last Friday afternoon.
Wow.
A couple came in around noon, and they were still locked out of their business in an evacuation. They had enough financial information that we could say, yeah, this is a viable business that, you know, we can expect to continue on if we can just get them through this disaster. And so we were able to sign documents and cut them a check by Friday evening.
Wow, that's impressive. That's just a week after the fire came to town, basically.
Week after the fire, and we were able to turn that one around the same day. You know, we may not be able to turn all the deals around the same day, but we've got it set up to where, from our staff standpoint, we can turn these things around quickly and take care of people that really need it.
Hey, Bob Nash, I see a number of different things that the loans can be used for. Are there any specific restrictions about things they can't be used for?
Well, in terms of our general loan fund, because, you know, we can still take applications for business expansions, buyouts, whatever. But what cannot be funded is land speculation. In other words, for a developer that's building homes and reselling them, or for residential development.
We
can't fund those things. Basically, we're talking about owner-occupied business.
All right. So it needs to be basically the cost of doing business as it is currently configured, not for looking
for the cost of doing business or purchasing facilities or equipment.
You mentioned retail, and I'm just curious, in this age of Amazon and other ways in which people can buy stuff that don't necessarily involve going to a mom and pop store, how much retail you've still got among your list of clients?
Well, you know, there's still a full cadre of retail, and when I say retail, I'm also talking about food service, restaurants, and tourism, and all that, and where the retail is getting hit is because they're dependent on the local community for business. Well, the local community has been tied up in a disaster, and 1,000 homes, 1,000 families don't have a home anymore. And so there aren't very many people that are going out for a fun time, you know, out to get something to eat for dinner, or out to the taverns, or going out to the lake for a day on the lake. So it's been very quiet. And you know, the businesses are generally set up where they've got a cash flow level that they have to meet to cover their fixed costs. And when their gross receipts fall below that, then things start going into the red pretty quick.
You mentioned SBA coming to town at some point. Do we know for sure when? I mean, does the Small Business Administration already have an office in Reading?
They're actually setting up shop in our office here in Reading, and we're expecting them on Thursday, and we don't know exactly when they'll start seeing folks, but it'll probably be early the following week It'll take them, you know, as they see folks and assess needs and repayment ability, they'll probably start making some loans within 2 weeks, we're hoping.
And how are their loans configured in size and repayment and interest and all the basics on that?
SBA can, for a disaster loan, can loan up to $50,000. And their interest rates are very reasonable. I don't recall the exact rate right now. For terms, they'll run those out to 20 years. So the payments are very reasonable. The interest rates are minimal. And so it's actually a good product. And if a business is viable, if they've got a historical repayment ability and it's reasonable to expect that if they can recover, they can continue that business, well, then they're in for a loan. But I've seen situations in other disasters in more rural communities where the SBA had a hard time making loans.
We were talking about Redding trying to get back on its feet in a business sense after the car fire swept into town 10 days ago. Our guest is Bob Nash, who is the CEO at Superior California Economic Development, which is already putting out small loans for businesses damaged by the fire or affected by the fire anyway. It doesn't have to be direct damage. You can join the conversation on the exchange. You may have many questions and comments about the way to proceed ahead in a disaster of this scale. We're talking 1,000 homes gone in Redding. Not many businesses damaged directly, but a lot of businesses that were closed for a while and obviously taking a hit in their customer clientele right now because of the dislocation to the people who live in Redding. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We had a drop-off question from Tim in Grants Pass who wants to know how available are unemployment benefits to small business owners and their employees in the event of disasters such as this. He just dropped the question off. That's from Tim in Grants Pass.
I don't have a direct answer to that, but my response would be to contact the Employment Development Department, or that'd be in California, the counterpart in Oregon, and talk to them. I think anybody that's been laid off because of a fire or a fire disaster is, I would assume, would be eligible immediately for unemployment benefits.
Well, let me expand the zone, too, as long as we're talking about both sides of the state line, because there are businesses that are certainly affected on the Oregon side, not directly by fire, but by the fact that, for example, in the case of businesses that have take people down the river on rafts, that when there's a section of the river closed, as it is at the moment, the Rogue River, to rafting, they can't do what they're normally doing, so they're taking a hit as well. We'll be talking to them the road, too. So what are you hearing? I know we don't have Ed Roman, apparently, on the call to talk about what's going on with visitors to Redding, but it's not just clientele from within town, but you're also trying to convince people from outside the area that it's still okay to come to Redding.
We say that, but we talked to a tourism-based guest house business yesterday, and not only did their reservations cease, but all of their reservations for this season canceled. So they have no business from this time out. And when I got the call yesterday, it was obvious they were a little bit shaken emotionally about the fact that this great business they had is all of a sudden looking at being out of business.
So just the word about what has gone on in Redding, even if it didn't directly affect a business, can spread far and wide. I mean, the whole world knows where Redding is now, obviously.
Yeah, well, and we've seen this before when we've had major fire events. In 2008, we had a large lightning complex of fires that pretty much the whole North State was on fire. And we saw tourism business literally stop that whole entire season after that. That year it started the middle of June, and basically went through the whole summer. And businesses were, for the most part, were out of business.
So, Bob, does it seem like that every year there's a return to business? I mean, you're not getting into a case of where the circle gets smaller every year, are you?
No, actually, the recovery, in particular for tourism, it takes a couple of years, because what happens is some people that do an annual trek will find an alternative location, and sometimes they'll just continue going to that alternative location for their annual summer vacation until something happens there, or until they decide to give the Redding area, another tribe. But the Redding area is a marvelously attractive place for tourism in terms of the lakes and the rivers and the mountains. And so people are normally very willing to come back soon after something like this. Obviously, the area that's been directly affected by fire, it's going to take a little longer for that to be as enjoyable. But what people have to understand is, while this is an immensely large fire event, the majority of the countryside is still untouched, nice and green, and available for great tourism activities.
I get this sense as I look at various websites and Facebook pages involved with economic development in the Redding area that there's a real upwelling of ideas to get Redding back on its feet. And I know that Jake Mangus from the Chamber is not on the call anymore, but he seems to tweet something every day about some fundraiser or another.
There's a lot of fundraising going on, and Jake has put together a fund, and we're all hopeful that he's successful in getting some funding into that to actually put together some small grants for businesses that would do essentially the same as what we're attempting to do with our loan fund. And so we're all kind of rooting for each other and supporting each other and trying to get the various means of assistance out for business to help them weather through this initial phase.
All right, but I'm still impressed by the fact you gave your first loan out basically just a week after the fire first came to town. And you said, so it's $5,000 loans that can come through Superior California Economic Development. And then when SBA gets fully up to speed, which it looks like it's in 2 days, they'll be able to loan businesses up to $50,000?
That's right. They can loan up to $50,000. I know they'll be in town by Thursday. It'll probably be the following week before they start seeing fire victims.
All right. Well, best of luck in the continued effort. I know it's going to be quite a while ahead of you, but it looks like you've already got some ideas for how to move ahead. And we'll talk to you down the road as well about getting the four counties together to talk about disaster planning for the future. Bob Nash is the CEO at Superior California Economic Development. As you heard, $5,000 loans for businesses in the Redding area now to take up some of the slack until the SBA loans are available starting. At least the conversations can start later this week. Bob, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Sure. Also want to thank Jake Mangus from the Redding Chamber who joined us earlier.